host, Mr. Jonathan Haywood, Stinger J. He is on hiatus until our next show, which is on next Friday at 9:30, always. But I want to welcome you personally to Radio NTV Entertainment, AMFM, Mr. Lee Van Smith.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure being here.
There is so much that you have accomplished during the time that you've been in the film industry, and you've done a lot. I hear that you are also going to be in the next film, the upcoming film, Clean 2. I wonder, how did that come to be? What was the selection process like for you to audition for this particular film?
Well, honestly, though, it was actually, I would credit that not to myself, but I credit it to God, because I didn't audition for that part. What happened was, I ran across a producer, who happened to be casting at the time. So when I got in contact with him, I was just sending him a monologue that I did. I looked him up, then I just started sending the monologues to him, and he actually liked it. And the thing about it, though, is I didn't have the right material according to Hollywood standards. I didn't have the right material, everything that they say that you need, so I decided, I said, I for people to know that I'm here, for me to get some type of attention, even though I don't have what they say I need to have, if I keep on sending out what I have until I'm able to get what I need to have, we'll just see what happens. And just so happens it worked out with that guy, and he liked my monologue so much that, he liked my monologue so much that he wanted to cast me on one of his projects.
Wow, that is amazing. That is amazing how someone with a great quality reel and monologue reel can actually catch the attention, even if everything is not set in place, but with God's timing, you could have something that could catch the eye of someone that could very well want to that's looking for a particular role to be filled, and just be amazed enough to want to cast you. Does that often happen in the industry?
Say it again.
Does that often happen in the industry where a producer just is just so taken by a monologue reel?
Absolutely not. Like, if anything, it would be a reel. If anything that's going to get their attention, it would be a reel, not a monologue. Matter of fact, they would advise you to not send a monologue. To not send monologues for casting. That's actually a no-no in the industry. So that's the thing about it, though. That's how I know it had to be done. Because I went against the standards. I went against their standards. Not to be nasty or anything, but I honestly, though, I felt led by God to do so. And a lot of people probably think, well, why would God tell you to do something that they say doesn't actually work? And not trying to preach or anything, or a moment or nothing like that, but I just like to, but all I know is I know what God told me to do, and if it wasn't for him, I'm wondering why did it work. But to answer your question, though, that's a no-no. I wouldn't advise anybody to do that unless you're led to do it, and I believe because God had me do it, he already had a door that was going to open up, and that happened to be the door that opened up. And the crazy thing about it, though, is I wasn't just cast as a part of his one of his actors. I happened to be one of the lead actors.
pronounce the name of the this particular producer or director?
I'm sorry, say it again.
And may I ask the name of the particular producer or director that was taken back by your monologue and cast you?
Honestly, if you was to go, if anybody, because I'm quite sure anybody, if I was to say his name, you're not gonna even be like, who? But you gotta look. He asked. I would say the best to actually find out is to look on my page. I mean, look on my IMDb and to look up Clean 2. That's the movie. Actually states that that's what I'm known for, though. I mean, that's in my bio. But if you look it up and you look on Clean 2, it has the producer.
Wow. I you know what? There's that movie. You know, seems to be like it's going to be a rather interesting film once it gets released. Now this is a sequel to the actual original film of Clean.
Right. That's the crazy thing about it though. I was actually shocked that he wanted me to be a part. I mean, not that he wanted me to be a part of it, but I was shocked that he wanted me to be a lead on it. That kind of threw me off, the fact that he wanted me to be a lead, because when I looked it up, I don't know, there's certain actors that you may not be familiar with, but I'm quite sure everybody's familiar with Tom Sizemore, and he was one of his lead actors in the first one.
Wow.
He's not going to be in the next one from what I was told.
This sounds like a thriller. Can we know a little bit more about the Clean? The film?
I don't know what he might have. Well, yeah, you can go to IMDb to check all these questions out what you're asking for. But this is it's different. And like you said, it is a thriller. Excuse me, but it's somewhat like patients arriving at a rehab center, and there's a whole lot of crazy stuff going on in this rehab center, you know. And I don't want to give it too much away, but you're gonna find yourself a lot of people trying to stay alive. You know, they go in there these rehab centers, and it's not like a normal rehab center because there's been a lot of stuff going on in the rehab center.
Oh.
And I happen to be, I'm playing a detective on the, a detective slash like CIA agent on the, in part two.
Oh, wow. I think you're going to do amazing, because I've seen a little bit of your work, and, I happen to know that you have a presence. You do carry a presence when you're on screen, and you know, that's something that I guess is developed over time through training, and I guess just having that passion to kind of research the character that you're going to portray. It that is, if I'm correct.
No, actually, you're right on it. When I do my role, I see a lot of it. See, the reason why I know it's a gift, like acting is a gift, is because some things I just without even having to study it, I just understand it. I just understand, you know, certain things about acting. But so as I studied it, you know, because I study other actors, you know, Denzel, they're part of my inspiration, Denzel, Will Smith. Leonardo DiCaprio, Morgan Freeman, Forrest Whitaker. I don't just study them on screen, you know, and I'm not talking about classes and stuff like that, because I've done that too. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, I pay attention. attention. I always go and look at videos on YouTube. I don't know if any other actor does this. But I go on YouTube. I've been doing it so long, for years. And I look up their advices, when they give advices. And there's something they call actors on actors.
Oh, wow.
And one of the things, and that's actors talking to other actors. And that's something that I used to watch a whole lot, and even round people, you know, with the actors and the filmmakers, I mean, directors, you know, and the producers, you know, and I get a lot of information from that, you know, and I study what they say, you know, because these are award-winning actors together in a round table, so that's like the best place to be for an actor, you know? So I'll be glued to stuff like that, and I listen, I get information from them. And I apply it to my own. It, to me, it's like grabbing all different ingredients and applying it to my life. Not trying to be him, not trying to be him, you know, but getting what I can get from him and getting what I can get from him, you know, and applying it to my own craft, you know, to make me better as an actor. And the thing about it, though, is it helps me to dig deep. Sometimes you might get a script where you don't quite understand. Like, you might not agree with certain things that the writer might have wrote, you know? But one of the things that is not good to do is to tell them, I don't think he would say this. I don't think he would do this. That's not good to do. And actually, that can get you fired. You know? So one of the things I learned to do, it depends on the relationship you have with the director, you know, with the writer. It's the relationship you have with them, you know, because some of them are actually okay with you switching up a little bit. It's just as long as you're not actually changing their intent.
Right.
You know, you might want to say a different word or two, but as long as you're not changing the intent, you know, with you know, but what I learned to do is, if they don't mention that to me, if they don't tell me it's okay for me to do that up front, I don't do it. So I just, what I've did is, for my own research, and it works, is when I have to say something that doesn't make sense to me, instead of me, sometimes I might ask the director, sometimes I might ask them, what exactly do you mean when you say so-and-so? But a lot of times I don't do that because I don't want to seem as if I'm questioning them. You know, sometimes some directors, they don't take it the right way. You know, sometimes they think that you're basically you don't trust them. I don't want them to feel like I don't trust them. You know, I'm thinking they need to make changes. I don't want them to do that. So as far as being professional, you know, but I still want to understand my character, though. You know, so what I do is I will come up with a mini bio to help me to understand my character, you know, a lot clearer. If I don't have enough and I'm stuck, I come up with a mini bio, you know, and that helps me to dig deeper with whatever character that I have. And then I actually, you know who I stole that from, though?
Oh, who?
I stole that from say it again.
I was just wondering, who did you grasp some knowledge from?
You're gonna know who I mentioned. Put like this, he worked with Ryan Coogler.
Wow.
On more than one film. You know what I'm talking about? Black Panther. Rocky, but what's the name of the movie?
Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan.
Wow, I got that.
Right, but you know what, though? I got that from him. He was an Actors on Actors, and he was talking to us. They was asking me, like, I love to hear how other actors dive in their characters, you know? And one of the great things that I learned, he said, he the one that made me think of that. You know, because you get, as an actor, you can ask any actor, that's working, you know, you might get a script and you might get stuck, you know, you might get stuck on a part and it's like, and it can stop you. You know, it can cause you to sometimes have to put the script down, you know, for a little bit. You know, and one of the things he said is what helped him was making up a mini bio about the character, you know, because it may not make sense based on what all that you have, but if that's what the writer said, and then you want to let the writer know that you trust him, you know, you can still do it at the same time, because the writer might not change his mind, you know. So in order for me to dig deep and to not be fake, I have to come up with a bio to make it make sense, if you get what I'm saying.
Right, exactly. Wow.
You know, like I have to make sense. Like if I don't curse, right? Or like, I'm not gonna say if I don't curse. If let's say something just come up, I'm just gonna come up with something. If I always, like, you might do something that I don't normally do. So of course it's something I don't normally do. It don't make sense to me because I don't normally do it. I would come up. What I would do is, for example, I would try to find out, okay, where did that come from? I'll make up a story to go back deep. Okay, if I'm 33 on the script, we're gonna say, okay, I started doing this ever since I was born, and this is where it started at, or I started doing this at the age of 16, and this is what caused me to start. Maybe my uncle started doing it, and I wanted to be like my uncle, so I started to say this, like he, you know, started to always. That's what I mean when I say I come up with a bio. You know,
right.
I gotta find. So give me a better foundation, you know, so I make it make sense, even if it don't make sense.
That's amazing. You know, that is amazing. You know, it sounds like you have to be, you know, you have to be, you know, you have to think fast on your feet, you know, per se,
right.
At that exact moment that you're, you know, delivering a scene, and be able to think like that particular character, but yet be able to bounce off from the atmospheric of the character that you are, you know, that you are portraying from the partner character that you're with, per se. You know, you're in a scene, and maybe you know you have your mini bio written out, so you have it in mind with that, how the character is supposed to be portrayed, but then you know how the character should be delivering. In contrary of the other character that you're acting along with. Is that right?
That's right. You know, one of the things I learned also that's very important for actors is two things, I would say. One thing is you have to know why you're saying what you're saying. If you don't know why you're saying what you're saying, you're going to be trying to remember. And if you're trying to remember the lines, that means you're not the person. You're a person acting. You're not the actual character. And people don't want to see acting. They want to see the character that you're portraying. And I think what hurt a lot of actors, including me, previously before I learned this, is I was stuck trying to remember lines because I didn't know why he was saying what he was saying.
it's like you're connecting with the character's mindset, with the monologue, and yes.
So you know what, though? Speaking of that, though, we just brought up the monologue. I actually, this is what bothers me, though. Which let me know I need more. Maybe I need a little bit more. And I know, and I have to continue to grow as an actor always. I don't know what it is, but when I do my monologues and I let people hear it, or I let other people critique it and stuff like that, they always compare me to, you sound like Denzel, or you sound like Will Smith, or you sound like, and that's the thing about it, that most actors, most people will get excited about, but I'm not excited about that, because that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to be the next person. You know, I have much respect for Denzel, but I want to be the first. I don't want people to compare me. And I understand sometimes that happens, but I don't want people to think that that's my goal. My goal is to be like him. Or my goal is to be, no, that's not my goal. And even in my intent, when I do my monologue, but like, for instance, I don't know, have you heard of Glory?
I've heard of Glory. I believe Denzel Washington was in that particular movie. Is that right?
Right, and Morgan Freeman.
And Morgan Freeman, yes.
Right. How about this? I did a monologue from there, right? But I watched it. I never seen the movie beforehand. I got a meeting that my brother-in-law was going to this audition. As a matter of fact, AMC or CT, whatever you want to call it, with the Christian-based actor, whatever you want to call it. But we went to that. We was preparing for that, right? And I did a monologue from Glory. And the thing of it was Morgan Freeman, though. There was a monologue from, and I never seen the movie. I promise you, I never seen the movie beforehand. And I didn't want to watch it. I wanted to audition at the place and see what happens, and then watch it. Anyway, long story short, I did it. They loved me, and there was two judges. They was telling me that I was the best out of all people who came before me thus far. And it was hundreds of people who auditioned before me, you know? And they were telling me that I was better than everybody who came so far, you know? And the thing about it, though, now here's the thing about it, though. Why before, like I told you now, I didn't see it first. When I did it, and I looked at the movie, me and my wife looked at the movie together. Why did it come out the way similar to how his came out? And I never seen the movie.
Amazing.
That's what blew me and my wife away. Like how I did it. It's kind of like, not saying we have the same mindset when we portray characters, but it's like, it just somehow it comes off like that. And I appreciate you talking about my presence, because I guess people see things better than you see, because I've been hearing that from so many producers and so many directors that do actually pay attention to me. They all speak of the same thing. You're my beard and my presence. My beard and my presence. They love my presence and they love my beard.
If I may interject, also, what I also see is, like, you know, I grew up in an era where, you know, I used to watch the, the James Earl Jones of those days, and actors who had, Mr. Sidney Poitier, and, you know, they all seem to have that presence that carries, but it's the way they accentuate the character with their way of delivering their a presence within the words that they're delivering through the monologue, and it's just that aura that comes out. You know that when James Earl Jones is speaking, he draws your attention to the scene, to the words that he's speaking. Sidney Poitier, you know that he's delivering something serious or maybe comical, but he does it with a certain stamp. He puts his signature on how he's delivering it through that character, if that makes sense. If that is something that you see with other actors.
I actually do. I really do. And the thing about it, though, honestly, though, it's funny you bring that up. Because I'm actually... I don't really know. Not right now. I don't really know what would be my signature. I guess I try to dig so deep with the character that I don't really know. I don't know my my mindset is basically focus on my focus. Actually, I would say my focus is really just to be the best that I can be, and do that by studying my character until I am my character. You know, and whatever people get out of that, hey, it is what it is. But I just want to make sure that I want to be respected as an actor who you don't have to question if I'm how serious I am. I've been hearing so many times from so many directors how Denzel and all these big time actors like what's his name, Samuel Jackson. I've been hearing them. They say when they get on set, most of their scenes, when it's just them, it's one take.
Oh, wow.
It's one take. You know, most of these scenes are one take. And that lets me know that they prepared. When they stepped on set, they was prepared, you know? And they was the person, they was the character, you know? And that's my goal. I want people to respect me like that out the gate. I want them to think to themselves, why don't we know, why are we just not knowing him? Why are we just not hiring him? Where has he been all the time, you know? Because the one thing I do want to be respected for, I want to be respected as an actor. I really do want to be respected. I don't want people to, oh, because of, you know, I want them to respect me, you know? A lot of, you know, people in my shoes that's looking to be that A-list actor one day, a lot of them, they get starstruck when they're on set. You know, that's not my mindset. My mindset is for them to look at me the way that we normally look at them, like, who is this guy? I would like to work with him again. You know? Because if I'm starstruck when he said action, then I can't be who I'm supposed to be. Because that's what caused me to be intimidated. If I'm supposed to be the aggressor or something like that on when he said action, if that's my character, but I'm acting the guy, but Denzel is the one that I'm supposed to be aggressive with. How can I be aggressive with him if I'm thinking that's Denzel? You know?
Right, he's the action.
And that gets me out of character. So I just want to be respected as I want them to respect me. I want them to, when I'm on set with these guys, I want them to look at me as if they're looking at each other. Like, oh, he definitely belongs there.
Wow. That when I hear it, it seems like often when we hear actors talk about their desires, to excel in the craft of acting, this sounds like passion for you. This sounds like you have that desire to definitely excel and to progress even further. You're lost in you're very dedicated. It seems like you're very dedicated into to manifesting into this particular actor. That gets it at first at the first scene. you know, of a film, you know, or maybe on stage in theater, that you're that passionate, you're that dedicated, that there's actors out there who are like yourself, and you know that you want to be lost, that there's none of you and there's more of that character coming out, that people go, wow, where did Lee Van Smith go? I'm seeing this character, where did he go? And then, you know, finally when you've lost and stepped out of that scene, here comes Lee Van, and they're like, wow, I didn't see Lee Van on stage, but I see him now, but I didn't see him. I saw the character, and that's, wow, it's two different versions of you.
See, the thing is I don't want to try to convince you to hire me. I want you to look at my work, and that convinces you alone. You know, I don't want to have to sell myself. I want my work to sell. You know, because everybody say they the best. They say they good. Everybody say I'm the next good actor. I'm the next thing. Denzel can't. Everybody say that. You know, one thing I realize is not. Well, I say it from. This is how I look at it. It's not competition. It's not about trying to be the best. It's not about it's about being the best version of you. You know,
right.
Because there's always going to be people who think that this person is better than you, no matter how great or how good you are. As good as Denzel is, we all agree that Denzel is definitely on top of his game. If he's not number one, he's one of the one. He's on top of the list. But guess what, though? It's a select group of people that feel like Morgan Freeman or Bruce Willis. You know, it's a select people that's going to disagree, basically, what I'm saying. So why try to compete with him, you know, when that's going to always be the case? You know, the way I see it is, Denzel got to a place, all these actors, they got to a place to where their work speaks for them. They don't have to open their mouth. And if I have to open my mouth, that means that I haven't got to a place, to a level yet in regards to my craft to where my work speaks for itself. So that's my goal. That's what I think about. You know, that's why when I get on these sets, you know, that's what I want. I want to be so good to everybody who's watching that they're literally thinking that they're in the presence of an A-list actor. You know, because that's how I see myself. I don't see myself becoming an A-list actor. I see myself as an A-list actor. You know, excuse me, because I know how hard I work. I know how hard I work. You know, and the thing about it though, I don't want to have to tell you to look at me. I want to be so compelling. I want to be so good that you have no choice but to look at me. You know, to me, it's just like somebody trying to get to the NBA. You know, like you can tell people how good you are, but when they watch you, do they agree? You know, you can tell people you're the best 3-point shooter. I'm one of the best 3-point shooters ever. But when he wants you to shoot 3-pointers, do they agree? You should have to ask somebody if they like you. You should know if they like you because they keep looking at you. They keep on talking to you. You know, they do things for you because they see potential in you. So if people not doing that to me, then I look at it as if I need to work harder because I'm not where I want to be yet.
You sound like, I hear the drive, you know, within the way you speak about the field of acting. I feel that passion, that you're just, you know, that thirst, you know, you have that drive, and that's how I see most actors. You know, they give up a lot for what they're passionate about. You know, some of them pack up their bags and they just go and they just say, you know what, I know that either New York or LA, whichever one I choose, I know that these are the states that I need to go to be seen. You know, what do I need to do? what do I need to do to gather, to what do I need to have in my, I guess my briefcase, for my career briefcase, in order to be seen in this industry, because I'm just that much more passionate. Where do I need to go to get to my next, to get to be seen in that light, by the director I want to work with? It sounds like that's what you have. You just have that ambition to definitely make sure that you're seen by the ones that you really are passionate about working with. Which in the field that you're, you know, in entertainment, that you see in film, that you are very passionate about working with, or that you have been passionate about working with in the industry of film?
Mr. You said who do I want to work with?
You know, directors, producers that you're very passionate about working with, or that you have worked with.
Well, it's a few. I'm not going to go in order, but in regards to producers, directors, I want to work with Devon Franklin. I want to work with, and like I said, this is not in order. And I'm quite sure I'm going to miss some right now. I'm going to miss a few of them. But, these are the ones that stand out to me. These are the ones that stand out most. The ones that I do know I would love to work with. And I know eventually I'm going to have my chance to work with a few of them, if not all of them. Excuse me. But I want to work with, once again, I work with Tyler Perry. And I was a bouncer on the Haves and the Have Nots. I work with Tyler Perry. But when I seen Tyler Perry, seen Tyler and he spoke to me. It was not from the place where I wanted it to be. At that time, I was an extra. When I did a bouncer role, he wasn't on set when I played a bouncer. He wasn't on set. But anyway, Tyler Perry, Devon Franklin, Mr. Peeler. Who else? There's another guy. I can't think of his name right now. He does a lot of play. But of course, Spike Lee.
Oh yeah.
I want to work with Ava. Really want to work with Ava. And I really want to work with Antoine Fuqua. But that's not even all. You know, there's a lot of them. You know, there's a lot of actors. And I wish John Singleton didn't leave so early.
Yes.
He's one of the other ones I would love to work with. But to continue, I love to work. I want Ryan Coogler is at the top of the list. I told you about Jordan Peele already.
Oh, yes.
I would like to eventually work with Lee Daniels one day. But the list goes on. It's quite a few of them that I would love to work with. But director, producer wise, you know, but as far as acting, on top of the list is Denzel Washington.
Wow.
Will Smith, you know, those two, and Forrest Whitaker, those two on top of the list. Oh yeah, and Chadwick, you know Chadwick, right?
Oh yes.
Mr. Chadwick. I think everybody knows Mr. Chadwick. That's why I didn't say his whole name.
Absolutely.
Yeah, pretty much everybody knows who Mr. Chadwick is. But I would like to work with, you know, actors like that. I would like to work with Morgan Freeman one day. There's quite a few out there. You know, I'm quite sure I'll be missing a lot of them. But there's a lot of actors out here that I would want to work with one day. That's pretty much it.
Wow. That's quite a list. You've got a list of the greats that you've listed.
Oh, I do. I even have some female actors. I don't want to mention any names because my wife knows I had a crush on one of them. She was in Baggage Claim. She knows about her, though. She knows about her. But that's another one I want to
for itself. I mean, you've worked on Have and Have Nots, and you know, a family betrayal as well. You know, that's a good list. You know, Crossing Thresholds is another one. You know, but I love the fact that you how you as an actor have able to maintain your faith in the industry.
Before we get to that, I'm gonna make scratch a dot real quick. The crossing the threshold thing. I started off as the actor, as the actor in that, but I wasn't able to finish that. So another actor ended up taking my place. So I need to cross that off my resume. I'm talking about as far as that being something that I was in. The director and the producer of it, she's incredible. She's gonna be a big one too. I love her writing, but I don't want to get all into that. I just want to say I want to scratch that off, crossing threshold, because I started off as the actor, but I had transportation issues, so I wasn't able to get back and forth in regards to my there's a whole lot was going on at the time. Someone else ended up doing that role. I had to basically back out of that project. But to answer your question as far as me maintaining my faith, is honestly though, it's all about what's more important to you in life. And I'm sorry. To me, it's just all about what's more important to you in life. You know, believe it or not, even though acting is a passion, gift that I have is God first, always. And it's a job. Believe it or not, it's a job. It's something that I love, but at the same time, it's a hobby, but it's a job also. You know, and your job can't come before your belief. You know? And if I believe that God is the one that's been that gave me the job, he's the one that sent me here, and I have to make sure that I'm following him the whole way, because just like he opened these doors, you can close these doors. You know,
this is very true.
So why would I put anything over him? Why would I? Because I've been offered jobs, I've been offered opportunities where it caused me to say the heck with your faith. You know. And it was tempting because of money. It was tempting because I needed the money. You know, but the thing about it though is, sometimes I believe it's a test. Sometimes I believe it's a test to see what you compromise, you know?
Absolutely. and we do know about temptation, you know, and you know, and on the job, whether you're in the industry or not, there's always going to be a level of temptation.
Right.
But you know, within the industry, it can be quite tempting, especially on many levels. You know, whether you want to, you know, it's tempting because you want, you know, for money, the luxury, you know, for exclusivity. Sometimes being this, you know, it's being exclusive to go to exclusive gatherings and so forth. So, you know, but I guess, you know, how would one, if they're really truly God seekers, how could they maintain a grounded passion for the industry of acting, per se, in your perspective?
How can they maintain passion for it?
Basically, how can they keep themselves grounded in the aspect of their of morality within the entertainment industry?
Well, first of all, you have to already be passionate about it. You don't want anything that you have to develop passion for. I would let it leave it alone.
Oh,
because what you're born to, because see, time, that's God. That's God's way of letting you know that's not what you're born into, what you're called to do. That's not what you're born to do. That's why you don't have a passion for it. You know, don't try to have a passion for something that you're not already passionate about, because it's not gonna happen. You can't develop passion for something that you don't have. If I don't love something, now I'm not saying that it's not possible to fall in love with something. How does it sound to try to fall in love with something that you don't already love? Wouldn't you rather to fall in love with something that you already love? Like, I naturally love acting. Since day one, I love it. I don't have to force myself, you know? So even if I didn't know this is what I was called to do, this as a career, this is something I would want to do, because money is not, I don't need money to, money doesn't make me want to do this. I naturally want to do this whether money is involved or not. So what I would say in regard to that, I would say don't try to force yourself to be passionate about something. Think about, what is it something that you do that you love? What is something that you do that you just naturally love? And if money wasn't an option, that's something that you would do regardless. What, you know, if money was an option, if you didn't need no money, what is it that you would do? What is it that you love? Passion, right? What is it that you love that if you didn't need any money, that you could see yourself doing for the rest of your life? Now, that's, whatever that is, that's your passion. And that's, passion is not something you have to try. It's not something that you have to force yourself to love more of. You naturally love it, whatever it is. Some people is fishing. Maybe you meant to be a fisher. You know? Some people's sport, basketball, maybe you just, I don't know why, but I just, when I play basketball, I just forget about life. And just, time just slow by and go by so fast. Whatever that is that causes that time doesn't exist at the moment, because you're caught up in the moment, that's what you're passionate about. And no matter how much money you need, I mean, no matter how much money it takes to get it done, I'm sorry, no matter how much money it makes or how much money it doesn't make, that's not what's important. Because you'll find out that eventually, you'll find yourself doing it. Now, I'm not trying to preach or nothing, but the Bible says that your gift will make room for you. So passion, but a lot of people don't understand, passion and gift is different. It's not the same thing. The gift is something that you were naturally born with. It's something that you just normally, you're better than the average person. You know, it's naturally, like, not naturally something that you love. It is naturally something that you're good at. I don't know why I'm good at this, but I'm just natural. I don't have to try as hard as anybody else. They have to work on this. They have to practice this. But I'm just naturally good basketball player. And I don't even have to practice as much as he practiced. And I'm still as good or better than him. That's the gift. And the Bible says your gift will make room for you. So what I would do, this is an advice that I would give people. Work on your gift. And work, I mean, when you work on your gift, it's going to make room for you. It's going to cause you to have an influence in the world. And the good thing about having influence in the world is you don't have to ask people for money. Eventually, they'll see the gift in you. And your gift will attract money. And when the gift attracts money, it adds a platform for you. And when it adds a platform for you, then that passion that you love so much, now you can pursue that. That's what he means when he says your gift will make room for you. That's part of what he means, you know?
Whew. That's a lot of, that's wisdom. Lee Vince Smith. That is true wisdom. And I can firmly agree, you know, when it comes to knowing your passion, you know, it doesn't, money wouldn't drive you. for something that you're passionate about. The getting up every day, you're going to naturally be drawn to it.
Right.
You know, no matter, it's just like if you need God every day, you need Him to breathe. You know, nothing has to make you, get down on your knees and just thank Him, because it's something naturally within you that wants to do that. Being an actual basketball player, if it comes naturally to you, this is something that you think about it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You're thinking about it. Your life revolves around it. If you're an actor, you're constantly researching about films. You're reading books about, the next play. If you know that it's this play, it revolves around something, a piece of history, you're gonna go do your research about it. And get training, because you're just drawn to something like that. And like for instance, yourself, you have a history of of training and being around those that are like minded like you, that are so passionate about the industry itself, and you pursue it with passion. How does one know that they're truly passionate about something? And you probably went over it.
I was gonna say, I think you pretty much said it.
You pretty much wrapped it up.
It's like being hungry for something. It's like being hungry or thirsting for something, And you can't help it. Like, you can't stop thinking about it. It's always on your mind, And no matter what you do, you can't leave it alone. You might leave it alone, but it won't leave you alone. Matter of fact, for instance, my acting, honestly though, I don't have that story like everybody else has. A lot of people have that. I never thought about giving. No, I thought about giving this up plenty of times. The thing about it though is, my day will be even worse when I thought about giving it up. My days would be worse. It's like, because the reason why, because it's like it would hunt me. I couldn't stop thinking about it. Even when I tried to, I'm like, hold on, this feeling is not going to never happen. And this is before I booked anything. And the thing is, because what happened was, I have the craziest story in the world. My first time auditioning for a lead role, this before I did extra anything, my first time auditioning for a lead role, and this was in that Albany, I mean, this was in New York, and I had long hair. I booked my first role as a lead actor, my first time ever auditioning. And the thing about it though is,
whoa,
my mindset was, I had the wrong mindset at the time. It was so easy the first time coming around, and that never happened. It was so easy the first time, I took it for granted. So I looked at it, since it was so easy, this is going to be easy in this career. So I basically took it for granted, and then I used to smoke at the time. So I wasn't in shape. This role, I remember the name of the movie. It was called Awesome Security. And I was all good. I was excited about it until he told me that I had to run the majority of the film. And when he told me I had to run the majority of the film, these are the thoughts that came to my head. It was too easy for you to get that lead. You know you're not in sync right now. And then we're supposed to be, shoot was started in, I think 2 weeks from then. And to me, that wasn't enough time for me to, number one, stop smoking. And number two, it wasn't enough time for me to get in shape as far as my lower body getting the wind, because I wasn't ready. So because of that, I took it for granted, and it hurt me. And ever since then, I've been humble, because it's been hard even finding auditions for lead roles. Ever since then, you know,
So it just sounds like, you know, when you're going for a particular, you know, any, you know, particular roles, I guess it kind of teaches you to kind of be prepared for certain things, you know, kind of be prepared for, you know, something that you may not find that it could be, you know, that the character may have as a surprise, you know, for instance, you know, that instance that the character was going to be running for the whole time in the film, but just having that experience though, you going for a role and you getting it the first time you came out, there were that you had that presence just enough for them to say, we have to have him, we have to have this gentleman here for this particular role. You know, that's, to me, that's, it says a lot. It says a lot because, you know, you must have done something at that point in time for that particular audition that caught the attention of the director or the casting director at that point.
Well, actually, it's funny because when I first went in the room, he told me, he said, oh my God, I still remember that. He said, you have the perfect, exact look that I'm looking for. That was his exact words. You have the perfect, exact look that I'm looking for. I hope you can act. That's exactly what he said. And most casting directors, they don't say that. They don't. But come to find out, he was the director himself. He was the director and the casting director. And he was saying, I hope you can act because you have the perfect look that I'm looking for. And the thing about it, though, is I read the lines to him. He loved it. And then he wanted, he said, okay. Let me see if you can take direction. And then he was going over, yeah, okay, do this. Okay, this is going on. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, what would you do now? I want you to say these lines. This is the situation. And then he was doing that, and he was doubting me off of things he was getting, having me to do. And not to my own horn, but everything seemed, I seemed to be doing everything the way that he wanted me to do it. You know? And just like that, he said, you don't have to, nobody else has to come. He got it. This is the guy right here. And that's how it happened. And that was in 2008 or 2009. One of them, I don't remember which one. But it haunts me to this day. The reason why is because I take my craft more serious now than I did back then. And I didn't realize that how serious I was not until reality hit me. Because ever since then, it hasn't been as easy.
Wow. That's amazing. You know, just that's an impactful, you know, testimony that you just came with. The factors that you came into an audition and they saw something in you right then that you were the perfect match for this character. But then you found that at that point in time that your mind, the connection to that character, you felt that it was just, it came too easy for you. Is that right?
Right. Wow. Right, that's what it was. It came too easy. But you know what I realized though at the time though? Because I was going after these roles. I'm talking about, I was wholeheartedly, I was...
Doesn't matter if you're black, it doesn't matter if you're white, doesn't matter if you're wrong or whether you're right, it doesn't matter what you think, it doesn't matter what you know, you're gonna wanna be tested wherever you go. Now the choices that we make in life are all up to us. No matter what nobody says, your heart is all you need to trust. To see the world through a visionary's eyes, it's gonna take courage, you're gonna need strength to compromise. To see the world through an innovator's eyes, it's gonna take courage before your dreams are realized. Doesn't matter if you're rich, doesn't matter if you're poor, everybody loves money, it only makes you want it more. Will you fight for the team? Are you the kind that makes a scene? Are you quick to make decisions and then decipher what it means? Now the choices that we make in life are all up to us. No matter what nobody says, your heart is all you need to trust. To see the world through a visionary's eyes, it's gonna take courage, you're gonna need strength to compromise. To see the world through an innovator's eyes, it's gonna take courage, you'll have to reach way down deep inside. The weight upon your shoulders, I bet nobody ever told you that the road would be tougher than you've ever seen. Think about your faith and courage, no need to be discouraged, because your dreams and virtues have brought you this far. To see the world through a visionary's eyes, take courage, you're gonna need strength to compromise. To see the world through an innovator's eyes, it's gonna take courage before your dreams are realized. To see the world through a visionary's eyes, it's gonna take courage, you're gonna need strength to compromise.
Discover it's all about Talent trying to make it in the world of entertainment? The way to do that is through social media. But how? With the ebook, How to Profit in Entertainment, Social Media Guide from author Yolanda Nolly. This incredible book will teach you how to brand yourself and how to earn profits using social media and other entertainment media platforms. The entertainment agencies will be offering you high-paying jobs. How to Profit in Entertainment, Social Media Guide. Order your copy today on Amazon and everywhere else.
Chapter 1. How to Rise to the Top When Everybody There Is Already. Think you've got talent? You're not alone. The power of the internet, YouTube, and reality television has created a big pool of famous and not so famous people. So how do you rise to the top in your career, especially as an actor or actress in Hollywood, when it seems so crowded above? These three tips will help you make the moves to superstardom and stretch your 15 minutes of fame as a movie star into an hour. Get trained. What separates the actors from the imitators? Their respect for the craft of acting. Before you spend money on headshots, find the best acting, singing, and dancing classes in your area, and invest in your career. The most talented people in the business continually train with acting coaches to prepare for roles. They don't take their gift for granted. It is quite possible to have the innate talent for a particular art, but the successful entertainers who continue to work in the entertainment industry have developed their art over time. Acquire multiple skills. Become a Jack or Jill of all trades. The stars of the future will write, produce, and direct their own projects. Don't get lost by having only one skill that can make you money. Become an actor, director, writer, producer, and even a model. Can't write? Collaborate with a young filmmaker who needs an actor or fresh new face for his or her projects. The top money makers in show business look for ways to increase their market share and find opportunities to promote their multiple skills. You must diversify your talent to stay relevant. Create your own products. Be a trendsetter. Want to be the next Berry Gordy, Steven Spielberg, Mark Burnett, or Oprah Winfrey? Create an amazing product. Become an expert in your field. But you can't be a trend follower. You must be a trend setter. Don't better the worst product. better the best. Gordy is a musical genius. Spielberg is a film mastermind. Mark Burnett is the whiz kid of reality TV. Oprah is a successful talk show maven and the new product's best girlfriend. Find a niche, create products, and sell. But the products you create must be phenomenal, not average, not mediocre. Think like the greats. Improve upon their successes. Create amazing products that your audience can't live without. Famous people of the future are increasing their knowledge, creating products, and diversifying their talents. Some of these innovators are stealing the thunder from established stars that are still following the old rules found in the star-making playbook. Use my suggestions to stay ahead of the next group of reality stars and home video masterminds. If not, you might disappear before you even enter the game. Chapter 2. Finding ways to make money using your artistic. Whether you have great musical talent, the ability to paint, or have outstanding writing prowess, you may be able to find ways to make money by using your talent. You certainly should use these skills to your advantage and not let them become wasted on just a recreational hobby. Musicians have so many different venues to go out and sell their talent, while a real, serious artist might still be able to sell their work if they can get their work exposed to the public eye. Writers often have a tough time trying to get their work published, but have outlets like short story and freelance opportunities as well to make a buck. While the most common stumbling block for an artist to find ways to make money is often their hardline stance on not wanting to be a sellout and wanting to keep their trade pure, this will often keep the artist very poor until they are dead. The smart ones will get out in the marketplace and try and get their art sold to as many people as they can. Quite a lot of musicians will work as cover bands or do things like weddings and school proms to make a buck, and writers will sell their work writing things they have little interest in just to gain notoriety and bring in the cash as well. This is often the price an artist has to pay before they are established in their venue of choice. If you are someone who has a talent, you may want to start looking for ways to make money from that talent, even if it is a weekend gig just doing kids' birthday parties as a juggling cowboy or singing with a Beatles cover band. It will allow you to make some money doing what you are good at and potentially open some doors for you to expand off of that talent. No matter what it is you ultimately want to do with your life, letting your artistic skills find ways to make money for you cannot hurt. You never know how far your talent may take you these days, as the avenues to exposure on a grand scale are more plentiful than they used to be. From YouTube to American Idol, there are many roads to success these days. The best thing you can do is try your hand at as many paths as possible and see where it leads. If it never works out for you, so be it. You can return to your boring 9-to-5 day job and keep singing on the weekends. Chapter 3. How to make money from your crafts and art. If you are someone who enjoys putting together artistic projects, you can turn this into an opportunity to make extra money online. Whether you paint, make jewelry, take photographs, or craft other pieces of artwork together, you can turn this into a money-making activity. People are often willing to pay for different artworks which they enjoy, and as long as your works actually have artistic merit, you will have a good chance at making money from them. There are a few different websites available which can help you sell crafts and other pieces of art that you may have put together. By running searches and looking through some of the listings offered, you may be able to determine which website your pieces will fit into best. Taking the time to do your research will help you make extra money online, as you will know the best places to put your talents without wasting your time. Should you start to make extra money online through your art projects, you will only be inspired to spend more time working on them. This will serve two purposes in your life. Not only will you be bringing in some extra cash, which always helps, but you will also be able to spend time doing something that you genuinely love. This goal, which started out simply as a way to make extra money online, will turn into a great chance for you to develop your talents and skills and grow as an artist. It is definitely an opportunity which should be explored by anyone who is serious about developing their talents. Chapter 4. the right way to use YouTube to promote you. When we think of social media, YouTube is not really at the top of the list in the mind of an entrepreneur. It is less about social interaction and more of a good place to go for some distraction. This might be the case, but that doesn't mean it cannot be an integral part of marketing your brand online as an entertainer. What makes YouTube a social site is how easy it is for users to share the content with other people, as well as the ability to leave comments and subscribe to the channels they like. It is another way for a brand to reach its target audience online and grow its reputation as an industry leader. YouTube has the lowest average bounce rate of all the social networks. It is the continuous engagement from users that make it a channel that holds onto attention better than most. People are able to simply watch content instead of scroll and read. Another thing to consider is just how enormous YouTube's reach is. Over 1 billion unique visitors. That is a huge market that is largely untapped by so many businesses today. YouTube is a great channel for brands of all sizes in the entertainment world. Even for bloggers who are eager to grow their readership and build up their personal brand, can take advantage of the simple platform by uploading videos. So, as a brand, what should you be doing to get the most of all that YouTube can offer? First, fill out your profile completely. It is the same on every social network. You don't want to leave holes. Make sure that you are giving as much information about yourself as possible. Visitors want to see your info when they click on your profile, so don't leave them disappointed. Then, give your channel a good description. The channel description is like an introduction letter. It lets people know who you are and what they can expect when they watch your videos. This doesn't have to be a great work of literature, simply a brief statement about who you are, what types of videos you will be posting, and how often. Be sure to use your keywords in your description to make your channel easier to find through a user search. Be sure to include links. On your About page, it is always a good idea to include the links to your other social sites, like Twitter and Facebook, plus a direct link to your website or blog. This is a good way to get more people engaging with your brand outside of YouTube and build your fan base. Give your page some love. You can personalize your channel art in YouTube by adding a profile picture. Make sure that it is something reflective of your brand by using your logo, colors, and even your own picture. Stay active. You don't want people visiting your page and only finding a few videos that you posted at the dawn of time. Always create new videos to post to your channel. Interact with your followers by responding to any comments that they leave. Send out a thank you when they subscribe. You can see anything being discussed on your channel under the Discussion tab. The more active you are with your channel, the bigger your audience is going to get. It is also a good idea to embed your videos into blog posts, status updates on social media, or on your website. This is a good way for you to add channel subscribers from those who are already following you elsewhere. YouTube is a key part of any marketing strategy. Are you using it for your brand?
To go home, sweet home, 'cause things are so tense. Seems the simple things mean nothing these days. House is only home when the family's together and strong.
Romance
is the new love we play. Doesn't have to be this way. To get you in the mood,
just two.
It's no way.
With the foreplay between us two.
No, no way.
Girl, I'm finally over you. Many like to play silly games of war and roses. Truth be told, my love, the only thing that holds there. Let us see if we can put things back together. Thought we were family and our thing will last forever.
The romance
is the new love we play. Doesn't have to be this way.
No,
I've tried to get you in the mood.
No,
with the showers we used to do.
It's no,
with the foreplay between us two.
No,
girl, I'm finally over you.
Forever, whatever, and I can clearly see.